Teachers can tell you the steps, but mentors can show you the scars. Today, Jacqueline talks with Jill Bugbee, co-founder, along with her husband Eric, of Blue Trail Productions. Jill talks about their experience, including their missteps as well as the wins, what they learned producing their first film, Heroes of Dirt, and how they use it to mentor others. You can find the link to Heroes of Dirt in the show notes. We encourage you to watch it as an example of a movie that looks like it was made on a much higher budget than it was. But first, if you're finding this podcast helpful, take a moment to follow or subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And if you think others would be interested in listening, please rate and review to make it easier for others to find. You can leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or podchaser.com.
This is the Faith and Family Filmmakers Podcast, helping filmmakers who share a Christian worldview stay in touch, informed, and inspired.
Quiet on set. Rolling.
Your hosts, Jeffrey and Jacqueline Witt.
Welcome to Faith and Family Filmmakers Podcast. My name is Jacqueline Witt. Today we have Jill Bugbee with us. Based in Atlanta, Georgia, Jill Bugbee and her husband Eric are the founders of Blue Trail Productions. Early in their marriage, they found common ground in the love of storytelling, filmmaking, and adventure. Since launching their company together in 2004, they have helped many decision makers take their businesses to a higher level. Welcome to the show, Jill Bugbee.
Hello. Thanks for having me, Jacqueline. So excited.
Me too. Okay, so did you always want to work in the film industry?
Actually, not. I always loved movies growing up, but it's a funny story because I was actually trained and educated in the sciences. My background is in biomedical engineering. I have a bachelor's in it. I have a master's degree in it. And I graduated from the University of Southern California in Los Angeles. And aside from getting full ride scholarships in those fields, my parents couldn't afford it, so I had to work really hard. And it was also part of their dream for my life, right? It's like sometimes we have those things where we want to please our parents, and they just gave me three choices, really. Either become a doctor, lawyer, or engineer. So I did the whole meanie, what's the best for me right now? Well, when I got married, though, to my husband, Eric, back in 2003, right after I graduated biomedical engineering, we both lost our jobs. You know, the first year I was in the biomedical sector. He was working as a producer, cinematographer, editor for a news magazine at a local news station. And then the anchor woman already left. And so we were like, okay, Lord, what are we going to do? First year marriage, we're out of jobs, right? So we prayed a lot. And so Eric got a dream. And in that dream, God was giving him stacks of plates. So after that, we prayed about it, and we felt that God was leading us to start our own production company. We serviced companies, corporations, nonprofits. You know, we did hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of productions already because we've been doing it for 20 years as of now. And we've been doing it 20 years as well. It's basically like, you know, those discs were still represented back then, like DVDs. That was DVDs back then.
Yeah.
So it just came to pass. You know, we told companies stories, nonprofit stories, from commercials to company profiles, training videos, trade shows, all you name it. So 750 plus later, right?
Right. Yeah.
Our real dream, though, and which is always what he also envisioned ever since he went through film school at Penn State, was to really get into feature films and TV eventually. And so we did our first feature film in 2015. We released it, but we first started conceiving of the story in 2008. So it was a long process, you know, to get that off the ground.
Yeah. I always tell people that anything in the film industry, it does not happen quickly.
Even though you're like, okay, we're ready to go. But yeah, that was a 7-year saga for us, for our first feature film. But we learned a lot because we really helmed it from story concept. What if this happens and that happens? And all the way to script writing. Which we brought on two other writers with us. Mm-hmm. And then from producing it, getting it, you know, packaged, funded, produced, and then selling it out there to distributors, right? Distribution, and then eventually marketing it ourselves as well. So we really ran the full gamut from conception all the way to distribution. So we learned a lot of mistakes that we're not going to do anymore going forward. And also a lot of wins. So that was exciting. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Actually, you talk a lot about when you're doing mentorship or anything like that, you talk about the mistakes that you made, the things that you learned from it. And I love that because I love how you would say, okay, real talk, guys. And, you know, Like, because that is the reality. Like, working in the film industry, nothing is done overnight. Uh-huh. It's not done without hard work, and it's not done without having to learn some things the hard way along the way. And, you know, so to be in this industry, like, you need to have that thick skin and that perseverance to be able to push through those times where it feels like all the doors are closed. And so briefly, I'll just talk about how I met you and Eric, because you guys were offering this online boot camp, this free
challenge.
5 days of like crash course of this is how you make a movie. And I was like, ooh, like I...
what to do and what not to do.
Exactly. Like I had already been studying for screenwriting. I knew I wanted to get into screenwriting. And so then when I saw this and it was free, I was like, this is the right price for me. I can't, like, I would be a fool not to attend this, right? But honestly, you guys didn't mention anything about faith, but there was some kind of connection where I just felt like, I'm pretty sure. And I think part of it had to do with your outlook, with your attitude toward failure, or not, failure is the wrong word, but like, you know, learning the hard way, there was a different kind of attitude toward it that I really appreciated, that I thought seemed like a biblical attitude. And so the more I got to know you guys, then I started to realize, oh, we do share the same heart. Okay, this is great.
We share the same love for our God. Yes.
Yes. And something told me, like, these are people you need to connect with. And so for me, I didn't know how to say that to you without freaking you out or creeping you out. So I was just like, okay, well, whatever you offer, I'm in, you know?
I know. And it was like, that was such an amazing year with you. So it was fantastic.
Yeah, I very much enjoyed that.
But it's interesting. We actually, even from that wording that we got, it was something that we coined, Eric and I. It was actually from our business mentor. It was what he always said, teachers can tell you the steps, but mentors can show you the scars. So people learn more a lot sometimes from the failures of others. And so like, oh, these are things not to do and these are things to do, right? So in our first movie, we both had two sets, you know, the things that we did really well, the things that we didn't do well. And one of the things that we didn't really do well is budget correctly, right? We just had this like arbitrary, you know, number. I mean, we just threw it out there because like so-and-so did it and this director did it and that director did it for his first film. And then we didn't really budget correctly. So what ended up happening was that we didn't pay ourselves, first of all, for all the story development, for the script writing, for the producing, for the directing, for the editing. I mean, anything. And so we paid everybody else, right? So it was one of those things where I think we bit off more than we could chew. And we were going from passion because we were super excited. We were first film. But yeah, the budgeting was huge. And so now going forward in our films, we are actually employing a professional line budgeter, meaning person that really knows, okay, this is really what's going to cost, and then putting a bunch of padding, at least 10% contingency. 10% contingency of your budget is basically like, okay, if you go over budget, you have that contingency. And so right now, like moving forward, we're getting more into the actual real budgets. But at the same time, there's also a challenge. Okay, if it's a real budget and we're talking about millions here, as opposed to, you know, micro budgets under 500, even ultra micro budget under 100,000, then you really have to take a little bit more time and you have to be more strategic in really finding the money. Financing can come in all different kinds of ways. So
For sure.
Lots of mistakes, lots of wins as well. And part of the wins, okay, let me just tell you this.
Yeah, please.
Part of the really big wins actually that I was able to do as a producer on our first project was to get all your catering covered. That means all your food. Do not ever give your crew pizzas or, you know, anything heavy carbs, because there's going to be a crash and nobody's going to want to work. And you know, 10, 12, 14, 16 hours. No, you can't have that. So really what I did, that was a really amazing strategy that I believe was from the Lord. He just said, well, just ask local restaurants, you know? So I was able to get 16 restaurants to cater all of our meals for 40 days, 40 day filming. Well, 30 days first and then another 10 days. And so each restaurant would cater at least, two meals, you know, so our crew and cast were super happy, even though we didn't get to pay them a whole lot. They were super happy because the meals were amazing and they're always different from different restaurants. So they were always looking forward to that.
Nice.
But at least it gives the camaraderie, and it was all free. And then all you can give them is basically, okay, you know, we'll put your logo in all of our social media, we'll do like all of the push shout outs out there, and also your logo at the end credits of our film, you know, whether people see that or not, but at least it's still kind of cool to them, I think so.
Yeah. They're part of something that lives on.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. So. Okay. So just to kind of recap briefly here. So for somebody who's thinking, okay, I want to get into filmmaking. And so something that you did not do right was just pick an arbitrary budget. Yes. But what you're doing now, because you learned from that, is to work with a line producer. And a line producer is the one that goes through the script and is able to organize the needs for how much things are going to cost.
Correct. Yes. And then I make sure to pick a line producer that actually knows tax incentives, because tax incentives are key, especially if you're filming in the United States or even internationally. There are other nations for sure that have tax incentives, meaning, you know, that certain country or certain state will give you back a portion, whether 28 to 30%. So some are 40%. I think Malta, or in Greece or Georgia, the country Georgia. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you really need to have that producer know this is what the tax incentives are so you can save more money. And then this is also what all the crew positions are, you know, depending if your film is signed with unions like SAG or WGA or DGA for the directors or IATSE for all the crew. So those are all the acronyms for all the, the unions. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. At least in America, right? Like,
yeah.
I guess some of the rules will change if you go outside of Canada and the United States.
Yeah. That line producer really has to be tied in pretty well with all the film unions of whatever mm-hmm. cities and countries you're looking at into filming. Because if they don't and they don't know the rules, then, you know, there could be a lot of delays on the film or the budgeting is off. And then they're like, oh my gosh, we're under budgeted. Mm-hmm. It's always better mm-hmm. to be a little bit more enough padding because, but then again, you don't want to over budget too much either because you could take so much time like trying to raise that money. If you need something for, you know, it could only be shot for $5 million, for example, and you're trying to raise $10 million. It's like, well, it's a lot easier to raise a $5 million, right?
Well, yeah. And even at that, sometimes you can have two different budgets that you're considering. And it's like, okay, which door is going to open first? Because I could make it for $1 million if I work with these actors, or it's going to be $5 million if I work with those actors. And,
yes.
you know, so which door is going to open for me? You know?
Right, right. I always still want to try for the best. Like, for example, we're working with this one film right now that we option amazingly.
Yeah, we could talk about that.
Okay, awesome. Sure. Well, we are proud, Eric and I are so proud to actually have optioned Jacqueline's screenplay. Solitary Refinement. It is fantastic. Every time we allow somebody to read it, they're either crying or they can't put the script down. It's just phenomenal. So we've had the privilege to option it. And so, yeah, we're going for a $5 million budget for that film. And we do have a second option for $1 million or less. But at this stage, I, as a producer, you know, having done our first film and what we did wrong there, what we did right, we now have the grid. We're like, okay, we'll do it properly. And so we're just really going for the best first. And that way we can actually attach name actors. Now, name actors are the recognizable names, not necessarily an A-list, you know. So it could also be a B-list, which is one of those people most of you guys already know. Oh, mm-hmm. I know that guy. I know that gal, right? So that one.
Yeah, I know their face. I've seen them on something.
Correct. Yeah, so those are the B-list. So we're going for that. And so if we get an A-list, that would be great. We want those because for these kinds of films, you want to be able to have what's called a pre-sale in distribution. And then a pre-sale is basically a letter of intent from a distributor. But when you finally attach a name, even one recognizable name, your script all of a sudden gets elevated to another level where they can actually give you the numbers. Oh, this one would sell and Canada or in the Europe territory, Asian territory right. for a certain amount. And so they give you those numbers. And then those are the numbers that then you can take to what's called a finance or film financing company. And then that company will then give you the actual money because they know that when you finally sell it in return, they will get those. And so that's how it works in terms of the film financing on that side.
Do you have an award-worthy script ready to go out and face the world? Faith and Family Screenwriting Awards is in the final month of submissions for the summer 2024 season. Top prize? A table read with professional actors cast by Gene Wanger of Treasure Coast Talent. There are laurels available in 19 categories, and all participants get free bonus admission to our summer screenwriting bootcamp. Join online from anywhere. Three 90-minute screenwriting workshops all in one day. That alone is worth the cost of your submission fee. Final deadline is April 30th. Submit your script today for the Faith and Family Screenwriting Awards. Get the link in the show notes or find it at faffassociation.com.
Join us for the International Christian Film and Music Festival, where faith and creativity come to life. Watch over 150 inspiring films, rub shoulders with celebrities, connect with top-notch distributors, and learn from industry experts. Share in fellowship with like-minded Christians and savor a music showcase that will uplift your spirit. Experience the glamour of walking the red carpet and revel in the extravagance of our award ceremonies. Don't miss this divine celebration. Get your tickets now at www.internationalcff.com. It's time to be part of something truly special.
And then you got your tax credit. For example, here in Georgia, we're based in Atlanta, Georgia, and we have up to 30%. So already that film financing company will already be like, well, here's 30% of the budget, you know, in cash. So you already have that. And then the pre-sale, so you really only need to raise, depending on the pre-sales, 30 to 50%, you know, of the budget is pretty much taken care of, right? And then the rest, you have to get equity, you know? So that's how it works with financing films on more of the traditional way.
Mm, yeah, I guess that's stuff that you, you know, going into your first movie and you didn't know that. And so you just got started.
Yeah, that was all friends and family, right? All the most filmmakers start friends and family or crowdfunding, or like we also did company sponsorships. So that's something too, that's a really good thing. Like if you have like certain products that companies want to actually feature some of the products, that's a good way, because our first movie was about BMX and extreme sports. So we got a lot of bike companies and all that stuff too that participated. So you get money that way too. So
nice. Yeah. Nice. Tell me a bit about that movie and then, you know, where people can watch it, because it is a really well-made movie.
Yeah, thank you. That movie is called Heroes of Dirt. And that's really from my husband, Eric's background. He grew up riding BMX bikes. You know, those in ESPN, it's like X Games, like all the ones that twirl around and do stunts.
Yeah, my brother did a little bit too.
Yeah, there's a BMX racing where they just race. And then there's a BMX freestyle, which is all the stunts. And so Eric did the stunts. But yeah, he grew up doing that starting at 10 years old. And he would go with his buddies and then they would carve out all these amazing trails in the woods, like acres and acres. So that was his background. And then he eventually went to film school. And so that was really the first film that was the closest to his heart as a story. And so it's about a young man's passion to achieve greatness in the sport of BMX. And then he realizes true significance by mentoring a troubled teen. So it's a really a mentorship type of film. And then Big Brothers Sisters of America came on board. ESPN came on board to really promote us. So we really had like big partners from the beginning. When we released it after 7 years, we had a lot of amazing audience response, actually, and we got critically acclaimed to one of the reviewers from Rotten Tomatoes called it the best of Hollywood and also art house films. It has that balance between the two. So that was a really cool review. And but one of the best things that I feel that the Lord really allowed us to see, even though with all the hard work and all the tears and blood and sweat and that got involved with that, because we were also raising two kids, right? You know, we had a year and a half year old. Colin was a year and a half year old when we did the production. And our daughter, Kayla, was a year and a half years old when we finally were like pushing into major marketing. So it was tough too, because we had to balance that as well. But the Lord, I think, really gave us like one of those winks, you know, that he gives you to let you know that you're on this path, right? And that he put you on this path of filmmaking, no matter how hard it is. He actually got the film to be listed in Vulture and New York Magazine as one of the 75 movies to watch the fall we released, because we released in 60 theatrical markets, limited theatrical. But still, it was amazing because we got listed in one of those 75 movies, and we were with Hunger Games, we were with Star Wars Force Awakens, Spectre. There we are, like little heroes of dirt.
Yeah.
You know, like, really, you know, we didn't even have any names or any kind of recognizable faces. But yeah, I think that was a God wink for sure that encouraged me and Eric, like, no matter what, you know, we didn't pay ourselves anything. Like, we lost a lot of money. It was almost like one of those things that he spoke to us, like, yeah, you guys can make it onto this list. Then you just have to persevere and you just have to do it next time with more wisdom, right? I mean, all your understanding, get wisdom. That's what Solomon said in Proverbs. So yeah, like that was a really amazing experience, you know, both tearfully amazing and also like joyfully amazing.
Yeah. Were there any times, I mean, you said it took 7 years to get like to be distributed. Was there any point in there where you were ready to just give it up?
Oh yeah, for sure. Like after the first, I think 2-3 years, because we thought, oh my goodness, we didn't even pay ourselves anything. And then you have to understand too, that because we put ourselves all into that film, we pretty much kind of neglected our actual corporate video production business. So we had to kind of restart that all over again during that time. We put all of our effort and energy into that one film first. But I think it was a seed, you know, in the Bible, we reap what we sow. So it was a seed of faith. It was a passion project. And we learned a lot through it all and also learned perseverance, right? Like even Paul said, you know, with trials, we develop perseverance. And then after perseverance, there's character. And after character, mm-hmm. there's hope, right? So those are the things that we really learned. I'm like, oh gosh, that's great. Like you're developing perseverance and character. But now we're at the hope side, I think. So we're hopeful now. Yeah. But it was a lot of testing for sure. And also the perseverance part, you know, but we were also like, okay, you know, our investors that believed in us, you know, they deserve a finished film, right? Mm-hmm. They deserve something that is amazing. So yeah. Even though we took our time and we just bit the bullet, so to speak, and not even pay ourselves even through the editing process when we ran out of budget, it was one of those things where we just had to like, well, let's just use this opportunity to just edit the film and re-edit the film and re-edit the film. And what we did differently with this film that I think most independent filmmakers do is that we really did a lot of test audiences. Test audiences are where you show the film and you give them all anonymous cards, okay? Don't write your name in it, but mm-hmm. be as brutally honest as you get. Right. And you, when you give people that permission, they're like, yes, I shall be brutally honest as I
yes. They don't have accountability. They're right. allowed to be honest.
Right. So we went through like 3, 4, 5 test audiences. And this could comprise of like from 10 to, at first we started with 15 and then we went to 30 and then we went to 40 and a 50 and 100 audiences. We just incrementally got up. And then by the time we got to the fifth one, and we were already like upwards in the 100, 175 type of numbers. And when we were getting finally 4 to 5 stars, we were like, I think we're done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We started out in the threes, you know, or twos, threes. Yeah. So we just keep redoing it. Now it's on IMDb and we're hovering about between 3.5 to 5 right now. Mm-hmm. So at least that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Before we finish up this portion of our interview, I'd like to invite you to go deeper with Jacqueline in her discussion with Jill in part 2, our exclusive members episode. They'll talk about producing and the different roles and types of producers, the importance of budgeting accurately, securing funding, the impact of recognizable names in films, and more. It's a vulnerable discussion with lessons learned the hard way and how to do it right. You can hear Jill's bonus episode and continue receiving these exclusive episodes going forward by becoming a supporting member. $5 a month helps support the production of this podcast and doubles the inspiring content you receive every single week. Sign up and get the first month free. You can do so at faffpodcast.com/support. You can also go there if you'd like to leave a one-time donation.
Where can people watch it?
Oh, right now it's free on Tubi. It's also on Amazon Prime. I believe it's also YouTube. So those are the ones that we have. It's all on AVOD, ad-based VOD right now. But we've also sold internationally. Like we've got sold in Asian territories, Africa, Middle Eastern, even in Greek. They changed our name, you know, because they can do that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Whatever makes sense to that country.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes when you go to different languages, like, because when you try to be clever in English,
right,
you know, and then you put it in a different language, that cleverness doesn't always translate.
Yeah, like
I was trying to explain a saying to some friends of mine, like, you know, the saying preaching to the choir, and I was trying to explain what it meant. And I realized, like, okay, so that would not translate. Like if that was, you know, something that was important to a script, you'd have to come up with something that would mean the same and still be clever, but it's not going to be the same thing.
Right, right. So when films are sold internationally, you have to be open to really letting go of the title. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then whatever makes sense there, they'll figure it out. Yeah. Well, yeah, that was our experience with the first film. So it was very rich for sure.
Awesome. Well, I'm looking forward to speaking with you more and getting into some deeper things in the members portion of our interview. Do you have any last words for our listeners right now?
I guess one of the last words that I could always tell is it's important to get wisdom, because that's where Eric and I definitely in our passion and then just kind of like, okay, we can do this. We tend to just do everything haphazardly or, you know, ahead of time or something like that. But yeah, like I really believe even in Proverbs, Eric and I going through right now this month, like just 31 days of wisdom, because there's 31 mm-hmm. days in January. We go through it with our business mentor and different other kingdom believers all throughout the world. And it's called 31 days of wisdom. And yeah, you just I think just invest in wisdom, and all your understanding, get wisdom. That's what it says.
Yeah. And wisdom is one of those things that in the Bible, it tells you to actually pursue it, like to ask for it, and that God will give it to you when you ask for it.
Yes. It's even way more valuable than rubies and gold and silver and all that stuff, right? Because getting wisdom, it unlocks all of the problems, you know, if you have wisdom through, particularly with storytelling, filmmaking, all that stuff. There's definitely keys of wisdom that we all need to pursue to be able to progress in this field. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. This has been a really great interview, very insightful, lots of things to think about.
Yes.
And I'm looking forward to speaking with you more.
Awesome. Thank you, Jacqueline.
Thanks for listening to the Faith and Family Filmmakers Podcast. If you would like email reminders about newly released episodes and more, please sign up at faffpodcast.com/email. That's faffpodcast.com/email. Bringing filmmakers together for faith and family.
That's a wrap.